I'd like to turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8. It has been a joy to be here. We've enjoyed it immensely, always do. Do pray for our services as they're going on right now. Brother Ryan Austin is preaching. I'd like to read verse 20, Jeremiah chapter 8. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah preached during a time when the southern kingdom of Judah, because of sin, was facing the certain judgment of God. He preached in a way that exposed their sin. He used powerfully graphic illustrations, pleading with them to repent of their sin, to turn from their idolatry, cry out to God to save them from the approaching doom. The overall message of Jeremiah was repent. Turn to God, or impending doom is inevitable. He preached for over 40 years. And during that time, not a whole lot happened. And there were others preaching a message of peace to Judah, saying everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. Jeremiah's just getting a little carried away, causing the people to feel very good about themselves and to feel safe in their sinful condition. What we just read is part of Jeremiah's sermon that began back in chapter 7 and continues through chapter 10. From chapter 7 and verse 2, we see that it was a message that was preached as the people were going into the house of the Lord. He begins chapter 7 by sharply reproving them for their sin and unbelief. Chapter 8, he speaks of the terribleness of and the terribleness of the impending judgment of God. The context of the verse that we just read is the fact that the impending doom from enemy armies, but the kingdom of Judah had been convinced by others and by themselves, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. I dare say there are those here today that are lost, and you've convinced yourself of the same thing. Everything's going to be okay. Well, there were the enemy forces threatening to wipe out Judah. But the people just knew, they just believed that help would come from Egypt or some other nation. But coming to our text, the time that they were expecting that to happen had passed. And their hopes of relief and deliverance had now vanished. And what they're saying is, another year has gone by, and we're still not set free. No one's come to our defense as we thought they would. So what we have here is a statement of gloom. That's the context. The application of this verse is to any who would trifle with the message of God. We want to take our thought to this morning from two words: not saved. Not saved. I want to speak directly to the unsaved that are here. And I pray that you would pay very close attention. Because I'm not speaking to you about something that does not matter. Or about something of minor importance. But something that is urgent. Very, very pressing. I'm talking to you today about your soul. About your eternal destination. Our subject simply is not saved. Not saved. I'm sure that most in this building are saved. But I'm sure that there's some here that aren't. Not saved. I want to speak first of all of the need of salvation. The subject of salvation is necessitated by the fact that you and I are born in sin. We're estranged from the womb. We go astray as soon as we be born, speaking lies. The subject of salvation is necessitated by the fact that we are sinners. We are sinners. Such is declared, of course, all through the Word of God. Read in 2 Kings 8, verse 46, or 1 Kings 8, 46, "There is no man that sinneth not." Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20, "There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Isaiah 53, 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray, have turned everyone to his own way." Isaiah 64, 6, "We are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousness that we think we might have is as filthy rags." We read in Romans 3 and verse 9, "All under sin." That means much more than all have sin, all are under sin. That is, all are under the dominion of sin. Right. Romans 3, verse 10, "There's none righteous." And then for emphasis, just in case if you think you're the exception, "No, not one." Romans 3, 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So sin is necessary because we were born in sin, because we are sinners. It is also necessitated by the fact of what sin is. Again, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Sin there is put in the context of the glory of God. That is, it's put in the context of who God is. God is pure. God is faultless. He's holy. He's righteous. And as such, He hates sin. He hates all sin. He absolutely loathes everything which is contrary to His perfect holiness, and He demands absolute perfection. Sin is going aside in our thoughts, in our deeds, in our words from what God is and what He has said. Sin is a violation of the very laws of God. Therefore, sin is a crime against God. Is there anything more serious than a crime against God? Sin is a crime against God. Sin is to rise against God. It is to rebel against God. It is a revolt against God. It is striving, it is contending with God. It is a defiance of God. And we read there in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned. All have committed crimes against God. All are criminals against God by birth, by nature." That is, all have broken the laws of God. That's serious. All have opposed God. All have risen against God and have rebelled and revolted against God. Don't ever overlook the fact that all sin is against the holy, just, and almighty God. And therefore, it is the most loathsome, the most vile, the most filthy, thing that there is. Sin. It's wicked. There's nothing more shameful than sin. Nothing more despicable. Nothing more abominable. Nothing more offensive. Nothing more grievous than sin. The subject of salvation is necessitated by the fact of what sin does. Sin brings damnation from God. It is declared in Galatians 3 and verse 10. Cursed. That means damned, doomed, is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Listen to God's word, unsaved sinner. You have sinned. You have broken the holy and perfect law of God. Simply by not being in perfect compliance with the law of God, you're guilty. Guilty. Guilty before God. You are under the righteous and just curse and condemnation of the law. God's sentence upon the sinner: cursed. Cursed. This is serious.
Amen. That's right.
The desperate need of every individual is salvation from sin.
Amen.
Salvation from the curse that is due to sin. The desperate need of every unsaved sinner here today is to be set free. To be released, to be loosed, to be rescued from sin and its curse. It's stated in Galatians 3 and verse 11. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. In other words, there is no stopping. There is no averting. There is no preventing. There is no deliverance. There is no escape from the law of God, from sin, and the curse due to it in and of ourselves. You're cursed. Which brings us back to our text. Not saved. Read those words again. Not saved. Read them again. Not saved. I must ask today, is that your condition? Is that your condition? not saved. The harvest is past, the summer is ended. We are not saved. There may be some sitting here. You go service after service after service after service. You walk out that door, walk out in the parking lot, get in your car. Not saved. Not saved. Another church service has passed, and I'm not saved. Another day has passed, and I'm not saved. Another year has passed, and I'm not saved. Oh, that you would feel the urgency of your situation.
Amen.
Not saved. Let me explain what we mean by that, not saved. It's really pretty simple. We've already seen the need. But if there has not been a time and a place in your life when you personally came under the power of the Spirit of God, causing you to see and to feel the reality of the fact that you are a violator of God's holy law, causing you to see and to feel just how loathsome, how vile, how filthy, how wicked and shameful your sins are, causing you to see and feel the weight of your sins just crushing down upon you, causing you to see and feel, feeling your heart with sorrow and grief and remorse. I'm a sinner against God. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever seen that? Causing you to feel the danger that you are in. And may I say today, if you're here and not saved, that's pretty dangerous.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But God, has there been a time and a place where God brought you to see the danger you're in? Brought you to see and feel your need and your utter helplessness and hopelessness, causing you to cry out in distress of soul for Christ to save you, turning from your sin, from your ways, and whatever you're trusting in. And let me tell you something. If you are here and unsaved, you, whether you realize it or not, are trusting in something.
Right.
You're trusting you'll live long, and you're trusting in something. But oh, that you'd see the urgency of the situation. Not saved. If these things have not happened, then those words, not saved, are you. You may be sitting here today. Is that you? Not saved. There's never been a time, there's never been a place where I've experienced that. There's not been a time and place in your life when you personally experienced the almighty power of God bringing you out from the control and the entanglements and the imprisonment of sin. Then these words are true of you today. Not saved. If there's never been a time when you've personally experienced spiritual life imparted to your soul, where you pass from death unto life. And my friend, you cannot pass from death unto life and not know about it.
Amen. That's true.
Has there been a time and a place where you've passed from death unto life and the chains and the shackles of sin were broken and you were lifted out of the depths of sin? It's very simple. Has that happened or hasn't it? If it has not happened, these words describe you today. Describe you at this very moment. Not saved. Have you personally experienced Jesus saving you? Have you personally experienced Jesus coming right where you are? And we pray that He would today if you're here not saved. And experience the delivering and the liberating power from sin. Has this happened in your life? It either has or it hasn't. And if it hasn't, not saved. Can you say with absolute certainty and assurance, the Lord saved me? There was a time, there was a place when the Lord saved my soul. Again, read those words. Not saved. Read them again. Not saved. Not saved. Not saved. Oh, that those words would grip your heart. Not saved. That you would feel the power of those words. That you would feel the reality of those words. Not saved. That you would feel the terror of those words. Not saved. That you'd feel the urgency of those words. Again, if this is you, I remind you today that you have a never-dying soul that must be saved. Not saved. What does it mean? Well, we've already said, you're a sinner, a rebel against God, a transgressor, a criminal against God. And in that condition, you're without a Savior.
Right.
Not saved. It means you're still in bondage. Still in the misery and the imprisonment of sin. And you're sinking deeper and deeper into the destruction and into the loss of sin. It means that you're still in your sin. Jesus, I believe in John chapter 8, said 3 times, "You shall die in your sin." There is nothing worse that can happen to a human being. You imagine the worst thing that could possibly happen to you, I'm here to tell you, the worst thing that can possibly happen to any individual is to die in your sin. That means you die with no one to answer on your behalf. If you're unsaved, it means that you're unacceptable to God in your present condition. It means that you are bankrupt of any merit before God. It means that you have no forgiveness. You have no pardon of sin. It means that you're still in the guilt of your sins, that you will answer for your sins. It means that you're on a road of destruction and eternal misery. An unsaved one, it is possible for you to die in that condition. It's possible. It's possible for you to die in that condition and spend eternity receiving His endless wrath. People don't like to hear it today, but there is a place called hell. And here's something else they don't like to hear. People go there. People go there. Hell is a place where God's everlasting, uninterrupted wrath is unleashed against the not saved. It's a place of incomparable, excruciating, piercing agony. A place of pain, anguish, and misery for the not saved. We read in Luke 16:23, and he lift up his eyes in hell. You may be here today and not saved. You may be enjoying your life, and you may not give much serious thought to your soul or your eternal destiny. But if not saved is your condition, and in hell he lift up his eyes could beat you at any moment. Do you realize that today? And if you're not saved, at any moment, and in hell, he lift up his eyes, could be you. That's serious business. That's nothing to laugh about. That's nothing to joke about. It could be you before you leave this building. And in hell, he lift up his eyes. That's speaking of the rich man. You imagine his shock when he lift up his eyes in hell? Most people aren't planning on going to hell. Those who are, those who joke about it, have no idea.
That's right.
So considering that eternal doom and destruction can fall upon you before this day is over, those words, not saved, ought to be frightening. They ought to be chilling words. Not saved. You know whether or not you are. You know whether or not there's been a time or place. If those words identify you not saved, they ought to cause you great disturbance. Don't get mad at me. That won't save your soul. Don't get disturbed at me. But you ought to be disturbed. You ought to fill your heart with anguish. And if the Lord's dealing with you, it will. Ought to cause you great discomfort. Those of you, I'm not comfortable hearing this. You ought not be. We don't mean to comfort you. These are words that ought to cause you to tremble. They ought to greatly alarm you. Not saved. Not saved. Oh, I pray that God would cause you to grasp the depth and the urgency of your situation. Not saved. If that is true of you this morning, whatever other concerns you might have, whatever other burdens and worries that you might have, what other interest you might have, these two words ought to consume you. Not saved. There's no greater crisis. There's no greater danger. There's no greater problem than a sinner in their sins. Don't be like those in our text. You convince yourself that somehow I'll escape the wrath of God. God spared not his own son. He's not going to spare you. You will not escape. You will not escape. You will face the judgment of God. And it will be without mercy. Jeremiah had preached, and they heard. And they heard day and night, and day and night had passed, seasons had passed, and yet we read of the people, we are not saved. Again, they're in the strict context, they're waiting for some other nation to come and deliver them from judgment. Do not be mistaken, or do not mistake being raised in the church for being saved. It's a wonderful thing that you've been raised in church. But don't confuse that with salvation. Do not mistake attending church regularly for being saved. Amen. Do not mistake being raised in a Christian home. And if you've been raised in a Christian home, you ought to thank God every day.
Amen.
But don't confuse that with salvation. And you may become an adult and you may incorporate those teachings that you had in your upbringing in a Christian home into your life, but don't mistake that for being saved. Do not mistake listening to sound preaching and even enjoying it for being saved. Do not mistake believing truth for being saved. Do not mistake enjoying being amongst God's people for being saved. Do not mistake being moral and separated for being saved. This is far, far too serious of a matter for you and I to be confused. Yet there are those probably sitting here at this very moment. You've heard the gospel preached by Brother Randy, Brother Bourne before him, and others many times. And you even sing the songs of redemption in the days and the weeks and the months and the years have passed. And you're not saved. You come, you leave, and you return again. Not saved. Not saved. And the time is passing. And you're not saved. You're getting closer and closer, whether you realize it or not. You're getting closer and closer to the end of your life. And you're not saved. This ought to concern you. And I pray that you would see and feel the urgency of your condition. So much so that you cry out to the Lord to save your soul. But I do want to say that there is a glorious possibility. We've just described a horrible condition, a terrible condition, not saved. There isn't anything more dreadful than that. There isn't anything more horrific, more chilling, more alarming, more concerning than not saved. And if that's you this morning, what you need cannot be brought about by the ability of man, cannot be brought about by personalities of people, or the planning, or the methods, or the calculations, or the messages of man. What you so desperately need cannot be manufactured by man. But oh, that you would see and feel the danger that you are in at this very moment. That you would see and feel the urgency of your situation. And that this would grip your heart. I am not saved. But know this. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save. To save sinners.
Amen.
He came to set free sinners. He came to release and to rescue and to spare those who have broken the laws of God. An unsaved sinner, that's you. You've broken the laws of God. But Christ Jesus came to save sinners such as yourself. This is wonderful news. This means that there's hope. Your condition is terrible. I can't even begin to tell you how concerned you ought to be, but I want to tell you this, there's hope. Because Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We've mentioned the filth and the vileness and the abomination of sin. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. From such. Not saved means that you are entrapped, you are imprisoned. But Christ Jesus came to save sinners. He came to save condemned sinners. He came to save those who are alienated from God. He came to save those who are unacceptable to God and who have no righteousness of their own. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There's hope. Not saved, you're perishing, you're dying. But Christ Jesus came to save perishing sinners. Oh, but Brother Dan, you don't know what I've done. I don't need to know.
Right.
Christ Jesus came to save sinners of all sorts. There's no greater crisis than the sinner in his or her sins. There's no greater danger. There's no greater problem. There's nothing more serious. There is no greater need than a perishing sinner. But glory to God, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There's hope. That's God's remedy. There is no remedy out there.
Right.
None of us have the remedy. God's remedy is Christ Jesus. He's the solution to your condition today. He's the solution, the answer to your need. It's an amazing thing. A great and holy and pure sin-offended God, the very one who has the power to and the right to crush the sinner and heap eternal damnation upon him. Oh, how wonderful that he would send his Son to save sinners. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. He didn't come to help them save themselves. He didn't come to merely make salvation available.
Right.
No. He came to save.
Amen.
He came to save. It is true, salvation is available, but that's not enough.
Right.
He came to save. Oh, that he would come right where you are. You say, well, how will I know? Believe me, you'll know.
Yes.
These things can't happen without you knowing it. He came to rescue sinners from their sins. He came to rescue sinners from the death that sin brings. He came to rescue sinners from the guilt, from the condemnation that sin brings. He came to rescue sinners from the alienation and the enmity that sin causes. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners from the darkness, from the bondage, from the oppression that results from sin. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. And when He came with the righteousness that the sinner so desperately needs. There is none righteous, but Christ Jesus has the righteousness that you need. And He is the Savior. He came with the cleansing that you need. He came with the forgiveness that you need. He came with the pardon that you need. He came with the reconciliation that you need. He came with the peace and the acceptance that you need. He is the answer to your need. It's no wonder that a heavenly host, on the day of incarnation, on the night of incarnation, filled the sky singing glory to God in the highest. A Savior is born. So in closing, you may be here today and not saved. I hope those words, I hope you can't leave here today and get away from those words. Not saved. Not saved. It ought to scare you to go to sleep at night. Not saved. It ought to scare you to walk out those doors. Not saved. But thanks be to God, there is a way. And He is the way.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the Savior that you so desperately need today. I promise you, if you feel the weight of your sins and you feel the guilt and the filth of your sins, if you'll cry out to Him today to save your soul, He'll save you right where He is. And in hell, He lift up His eyes. That could be you at any moment. Oh, that He would come to where you are and save your soul. Jesus still saves. He's the only one that does. And we pray today that He would, if you're here and lost, if you're here and not saved, that He would come right where you are. Save your soul.
Let's stand.